All right, here we go. Good morning to all those who joined in.
Good morning, Heiss. It's Jim from Sedona. How are you today?
Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. And I hope your hand is all well now.
I thank you for those who are participating online. And I thank BBS Radio. We have some more people joining in over the conference phone line. And I welcome all those. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call. And I hear... Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing well.
Good morning, brothers and sisters of the universe.
All right. And more people are joining in. I welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Gail from New Jersey.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the call.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
All right.
This is Kathy near Denver.
Hello, Kathy. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
All right.
How are you?
That's what
we want to hear. Doing well, Kathy. Thank you.
Good. This is Stephanie from Minnesota.
Hello, Stephanie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Gabriel in Phoenix.
Is it Gabriel?
Gabriel and Tammy in Phoenix.
Good morning, Gabriel. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And is it Aunt Tammy?
Aunt Tammy.
All right. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
And more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Only if you...
Hello?
Yes. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. This is Judy from Los Angeles.
Hello, Judy. Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. I haven't joined you for a while, so it feels nice to be back.
It's well, great to have you back, Julie. Thank you for being here.
Thank
Judy.
You.
Yes. You know, Judy, if you're near North Hollywood, there are people who get together there at the place from Vaughn. He's on the phone line here as well. And
I know. It's really not that near to me.
Okay. I just want to throw it in there. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A long drive.
Right.
Every time I hear the name Judy, when somebody says, I think of that Cary Grant movie where he said, Judy, Judy, Judy.
Yeah, I got this most of my life.
I'll bet.
Welcome those people who just got on the phone line over here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heiss. This is Terry.
Hey, Terry. How are you doing?
Hi. Doing good.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Terry.
And
Hi, Terry. Hi, everybody. Hi.
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 Good morning. I don't want to know your name.
Good morning to you. Now, let me tell you another joke.
Sorry.
Good morning. Welcome, Carla.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Carla.
Good morning, Carla.
Hello.
How many of you got out of the right side of the bed?
Carla, did you get any mail?
The right as opposed to the left.
Excuse me.
Talking about, right?
Dwayne, are you showing up for this call drunk again?
You talking to me?
No.
Not.
Yes.
Thank you.
There we go. I'm going to put my teeth in.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, I
could not see Carla coming to a skull bend.
Good morning.
Hi, Chris. Can you tell me?
Hi, Chris.
Who is that?
What was that?
I turned the dings off, and we still have more people joining in, but I welcome you all.
Hey,
Wynn, Terry, and Carla, we're live on BBS Radio, and...
Good morning, everyone on BBS. And Dwayne, do you want to say anything before we mute you, Dwayne?
No. Actually, no. I can't find my keys.
You're looking good to me.
Oh, wait a minute, pervert. That's a pervert statement.
Hey, Dwayne.
I got you on that one.
No, I just said I had trouble. I said you were looking good, but I'm still having trouble understanding you. So get your feet in.
You can't recover from this one, Wayne. I since I was 33, I have no teeth, and I've been accused of being drunk on the telephone for a long time.
Okay.
The better question is, are you?
All right. All of you guys listening on the internet, as you can hear, we're in really good shape this morning. And
this conference is being recorded.
This is 10:04 Sunday morning, August 11th, 2013. And guess what? We've made it to another Sunday. And I have my co-hosts. We're all co-hosts, actually. But Carla, are you there?
I am. Hey, Wynn.
Good morning. And I'm so honored that Carla has been enjoying showing up on these calls. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. And I'm glad you're here this morning. I know you're showing up. Well, usually know that. And you know what? There's every Sunday I keep thinking I gotta play this one piece of music, and I keep forgetting to upload it. And I uploaded it this morning, and it was one of my favorite songs years ago. I remember playing it over and over and over, and it still has that same effect on me. Carla probably remembers. Terry doesn't remember. Do you know, Terry went through her early life in another zone where everything kind of escaped her. Like, if I mention a big hit song, most of them she never heard of. Movies she never heard of. TV shows she never heard of. Everybody knows. So it's kind of like she was always somewhere else.
I worked on the farm all summer long from 13 to 18.
You worked on a farm. Okay.
Yeah,
I sort of had that happen to me too, because I was so much of an outsider that I wasn't listening to the songs everybody was listening to, and my folks were really big into jazz and into opera and into any kind of music you want to mention except rock and roll, mm-hmm. which my father scorned as only a drummer could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try me on it, but I might or might not recognize it.
I'll bet you recognize it. This one has to jump out of the speaker and grab you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. If you heard it one time, you would have said, that's it. And it's by a band called the Young Bloods. You remember that band? Mm-hmm. By the way, I just want to point something out to you guys. You know, in the beginning, when you first started coming into these calls, it's like all these ideas felt mysterious and weird and what are they talking about? Can this be real? And then suddenly, after a certain period of time, we get to feel each other not just on this call, but you can think about it. You can think about these sources. Some of you are having this experience, and this warm feeling comes up inside of you. And, you know, we are actually expressing what the song was talking about. You know, many people have that ideal that we're connected. And they talk about it like an ideal. And here we are actually having the experience, honoring our free will, no obligation, a free will association of people putting their love in a pool every Sunday morning. And when I was younger, somehow I knew that there was this promise, and the song expressed the promise, but very few people actually move into the experience of the promise. You know what the song is yet, Carla?
I'm still completely waiting for you to tell me what song you're talking about.
Now, I'll bet you know this song. You can tell me you don't. It's called Get Together.
Uh-huh. Nothing's happening yet. Comment.
You don't know the song. All right, well, here we go. Here we go. Just a second. Imagine you not knowing that. That's the kind of song, if you were a wanderer and you heard it, you would have to say, yeah,
hear that
that's
again.
What I... Where's that again? And of course, I remember playing it over and over and over again. And, you know, I met the guy who was singing that, and I used to think, one of the things is, I always thought people that were singing songs would be the songs they were singing. And so I expect that when I ran into him, because he was on the West Coast and I was in Berkeley, that, oh my God, I'm going to feel that song. But he was just a human. You know, it's amazing. The inspiration, when you can come through, like lyrics like that were kind of channeled. And
yeah.
You know what? I had another song that I always wanted to play on Sunday. This is getting away with. This is a good way to get the energy going, too. This was a song that I remember the first time I heard it. It's amazing that I remember this. I turned on the car radio, and I was in high school. And I think I was driving home from school, and I played this song, and it was the first time I remember going into ecstatic trance in a car while I heard a song, a piece of music. And of course, this was a song that was one of the early Motown songs. And I ended up writing songs with the guy who wrote this years later when I went to Los Angeles. And I guess it created the model of how we wished someone else would be in our life. And here we go. I'm being a Sunday morning disc jockey, but it's been months now that I wanted to play these two songs, so I'm getting it off my chest. Of course, this is, we could call this lo-fi, right? Could you understand the lyrics when I played Get Together?
Yes.
Yeah. But did it sound distorted?
No, it sounded good.
No, sounds good. Okay. Here we go. Do you remember those songs?
Yes, I do. And I really love that one, I'll Be There. That one just makes me cry.
Well, you know what? All of us came into this world, and I think those of us that keep showing up on this line have to be wanderers. We wouldn't be here. Do you know what? It's interesting how people can look at something and evaluate it from their own perspective, their own belief patterns. And one person will come onto this call and they will experience this flow of love that happens. It just starts coming right through them. And they'll say, God, this is what I was always looking for. And another person will show up on this call and think, what a bunch of wackos. And you know, this is why it's so important not to, we've talked about this before, not to hound people, say, you've got to listen to this. You've got to check this guy out. Well, you can say that, but, you know, what if they're one of those people that think we're wackos and they happen to be a friend of yours? Now they're going to think you're a wacko, and you didn't really want to be a wacko in their eyes. In fact, you could have had a good relationship. But their structure, their belief system is not sensitive at this point to let these energies through. And the key to all of this, the people around you, is learning how to be there for them in the way they need someone, as long as you can be authentic. I remember one time somebody said that they were rewriting the Golden Rule, and they said the Golden Rule got it wrong, because the Golden Rule says, of course, love people and treat people in the way that you want to be treated. And he said if he had written it, he would have written it, treat people in the way that they want to be treated. And I thought that was very interesting, because how about if the person doesn't want to be treated the way you do? They have different needs. And are you sensitive to their needs and treating them the way their needs need to be met? Did you ever hear that before, Carla?
No, I didn't, but I think it's a valid point. And it's something that we often miss, is that we assume that all of our desires are the same. But obviously, I mean, to take that very, very extreme example, if you're a sadist, then what you want is to hurt somebody. And if you're a masochist, then what you want is to be hurt. And as odd as that sounds. So you definitely couldn't work the Golden Rule as it reads there.
Well, actually, if one guy was a sadist and the other was a masochist, you could
work
the Golden Rule.
Well, that would
be a marriage made in heaven. A marriage made in hell, right?
Well, it depends
actually
upon whom you ask.
But, you know, looking for the right thing out in the world, looking for the circumstance that fulfills you, looking for the person that is going to love you in the way you think you need to be loved, looking for the friend that's going to honor you and be a good friend. And then oftentimes people give up. They say, I'm not going to find it. And they're probably right. They may not be. Maybe they will find it. But And then they say, it's a dog-eat-dog world. I got to take care of myself. I got to survive. And, you know, when you find somebody like that, that's the time. Don't judge them, because that's the time to extend compassion. That's the time to test your ability to care, to be compassionate. And to be compassionate without getting hooked in their stuff, because that's the trick that people will try to hook you all the time. And, you know, it's the great sensitivity to keep your intuitive feelings open. And you can tell when someone reaches back. You can tell when the energy comes towards you. And, you know, what we're doing is we're developing a psychic rapport. You know, we've read a long time that in the new earth that we're going to be telepathic. And perhaps on these calls, we're having moments of telepathy. Now, I don't think I'm telepathic. I watch my own quality, and I know I'm very intuitive. And I've watched myself do amazing things in my life, but I don't even know how I'm doing them. But I observe them, and I say, how did I do that? Like, I can try to put words on it. Like, for example, let me see. We were doing a talk somewhere. I think it was in Carlsbad. And we had this waitress coming into the restaurant, taking care of us. And she came to the table and was taking our order. And I was talking to her. And I just got this image. And I said what I was thinking. It was like I was in her being, and I could feel something. Now, I wasn't trying to be in her being. I wouldn't have ever intruded in somebody like that. It was just there. I was like, I was feeling like I was her. And Terry was there, I think, when this happened. Out of my mouth came, is your father a policeman? And she said, yes. And, was that psychic? I mean, some people would call it psychic. But really, psychicness is empathy. It's allowing yourself to become one with another person. Now, if I had to go around calling myself psychic, then it would be like I'm trying to sell you on the fact that I have this special power. And wouldn't you like to meet somebody that can tell what everybody's thinking? But it doesn't work that way for me. I don't want to be thought of as special. You know, as soon as people think of you as special, they have a very strong projection of who you are, which blocks you from connecting with them empathetically. I think everyone who is sensitive that ends up being a public person has to constantly overcome this propensity, because people will walk up to you, even you guys, you'll walk up to me and you'll think you know me. And you do know me. This is like the paradox of it. But in that moment, it's a new creation. And if someone walks up to you holding the thought form of a past creation, it stops the creation of the new moment. And so people that are in the public have to constantly, either they stay home and they just come out for their moments of glory, which that works, or they learn how to reframe, recreate situations so it can be in the moment, and they can, it's a new way of creating affinity. One of a really striking example for that with me was when The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce came out. And when it came out, I was invited to this party in San Diego. It was in Solano Beach, which is an upscale area. And it was this beautiful house of a therapist who I can't even remember how he heard about me. And it was all these new agey people going there. And, you know, I remember thinking, this is going to be my crowd. These people are going to love me. I've written The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I walked in the door of this party, and the guy who had invited me started introducing me to everybody. And I said, wow, this is really cool. I'm meeting all these great people. And as soon as he introduced me, there would be a stream of questions that would come from the person. Oh, he's back. Does he do readings? Where does he live? And I felt the social obligation to, at first, to answer their questions. And I started answering the questions, and I realized I was totally wasting my time. And I said, who cares where he lives? Who cares if he does readings? You know? And then people would be coming in and he'd keep introducing me. And when they started asking me questions, I tried something. I said, I don't answer those questions, but if you ask me what's really important, I'll tell you. And so then they would start to say, okay, what's really important? And then I would start talking about the dimensional shift, group souls, and all of that stuff. And at least I was making a little headway. And then I got bored with that. And because it was in such a social chit-chat environment that I couldn't connect with the energy. And so I went into the backyard of this guy's beautiful home, and he had a beautiful backyard with waterfalls, and I sat in a corner away from everybody. And I sat there, and someone sat next to me. And then someone else sat next to me. And before you know it, two people that were sitting next to me were talking to each other. And there were three people sitting next to me, and four people sitting next to me. And of course, this was like in a lonely section of the backyard. And for some reason, people would sit next to me. And I didn't immediately start talking about the book I had written. I just was quiet. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, that these people were all engaged with each other, and they had a really good energy. And I got up and I excused myself, and I went across to the other side of the backyard, and I sat down again. And the same thing happened. People started sitting next to me and talking to each other. And I realized I was being of more service holding the space and letting people meet each other than by being the center of attention and talking about my book. And eventually, I ended up pulling out my guitar and playing music, and people loved it. And I know Carla has something. You know, Carla is obviously a bigger celebrity than me in certain circles, and I'm sure she knows the experience of walking into a room and having people have these expectations of her because they've been touched by her material. And am I right, Carla?
Well, actually, I do not mean to contradict you, but no. For the most part, people don't know who I am. And the place where people are impressed by who I am are mostly in your mind. I think that
in my mind.
In your mind, yeah. Because I don't think I have a lot of people that know who I am. I think that I have the really fortunate luck not to be famous. And I hope that I get to be famous soon after I die.
Right.
Because then nobody will have any expectations of me at all. And they can't use me as an opinion football or an expectation football. And maybe the work that our research organization has done through the years will tell its own story. No, for the most part, I've gone through life completely unknown. And I have to say, although it has not been, you know, the very best thing when you talk about how to make money, I haven't seen much money from our work. I haven't seen much at all. But at least I've been allowed to be free to do the work. And I know that I'm really lucky that way. So I don't repine because of the fact that I'm not well known. I think I would be absolutely terrified if people started introducing me and going, oh, well, of course, she's the famous. And then I would be expected to be this or that because I've never had a lot of luck fitting into other people's categories. I don't know how in the world I would start having much luck now.
All right.
I'm sorry. This is not helping you, is it?
Oh, it's helping. Hey, listen. This is we're supposed to be authentic. And how about when people would come to your homecoming?
There's no question about that. And I just grin a lot and thank people a lot. And try to stay out of the way because, as you said, it's about the people. It's not about me at all. And I love it. I love that whole energy that happens. People come to our homecoming, and almost to a man, or should I say to a person, they haven't had a lot of luck talking about the things that really interest them with anybody. And they come to the homecoming, and all of a sudden they're with 25, 30, 40 people that really want to know what they think and don't think they're crazy and are glad to talk about anything that they want to talk about because of the fact that the Law of One is such a great filter of people that it brings out the true, honest seekers, those that are seeking really hard. And I think that that's the way that people find out about the Law of One is when they're seeking really hard. And then it draws
the law of one to them. It's like, then they can't help but hearing about it. But if they haven't gotten that far yet, then they won't hear about it because they're probably not, you know, ready to enjoy it, not ready to appreciate it, and it would go zip right over their heads. And so that seems to be the way it works. So I really feel lucky when I watch what happens at homecoming. It's just marvelous. But it isn't about me. It's not at all about me. And I think people sense that. And if they don't sense that, I state it right out clear. You know, I'm just me. I'm just an idiot, a bozo like everybody. But I was fortunate enough, because I really, really wanted to serve, that we ended up carrying this material. And thank heavens for it. And here it is for free, and I'm so glad that you can use it. And that's sort of the way people know me. And I think they're used to me that way.
But, you know, that San Diego party was such a lesson for me. And, I we're talking to a bunch of people, and many of the people we're talking to didn't write books, don't walk into a room. And I know that at one stage of my evolution in this lifetime, there was a time that I wanted everybody to recognize me. I wanted to walk into a room and have people say, "There he is." And I think oftentimes people have that feeling. They want to have the acknowledgement of other people. And here, when I was getting it, all I wanted to do was sit alone in the back and get away from everybody. And I realized I put something together that the greatest service in this life is putting together circumstances where people meet each other, where people come together, and they come together in a higher vibration. So they're outside of their normal set of projections. They can come together with higher set of rules of conduct. And they come together and they know the game at a higher level. And they have the opportunity to play the game with each other at a higher level than they normally might attract, which is what you do in your homecoming, I would guess. That, you know, they're paying attention to you, but they're in the same physical space. Carla, why don't we do a homecoming at your house?
Well, that was we are actually having a homecoming, and you're welcome to use it. And bring as many people as you like.
When is your homecoming?
The homecoming is over Labor Day weekend.
You're actually going to do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will.
Okay.
And because of the fact that I'm flat on my back right now and can't get off of it, it's actually the very best, because people can't spend much time talking to me, because they would have to leave the rest of the homecoming and come into the room where I am and visit for a while with me, but they'd have to give up everybody else to do that, and nobody wants that. So
now is it a free flowing thing where people are just hanging out, or do you have structure and events there?
We have structure. We have some structure. Let's put it that way. The structure that we have is that the people that want to can offer a program of whatever they want to, whatever they would like to offer, and so some people will offer, share the moment, say, when they first ran into the Law of One. And some people will share how the law of one helped them through a certain problem with their life. And some people will share what they do for a living that may be of interest to some of the people there. And it goes on like that. I have shared and shared and shared as far as teaching, and I decided that probably people had had plenty of that by now. So I decided this year I was going to offer my folk songs. And I've worked up about a half hour of a cappella folk songs. And I have always found them fascinating because they tell the story of how great groups of people moved, you know, from one continent to another. And you know, say the same song might have been found in the 17th century in Ireland or in England, and then the people gravitate to the United States, and they bring the songs with them, and then they're American songs, and things happen to the songs because it's a whole different culture. Like in, in one song, they changed the courting ritual to include bundling, and bundling was something that happened in the 18th century, and they would put a board down the middle of a bed and wrap quilts around it, and a courting couple could lie on the bed on either side of the bundling board and do anything that they could do while not going over the board. So it's sort of from going too far. And
maybe we should market those. Sounds like
yeah, well, they did that in the early 60s, and you remember that.
They were marketing bundling boards?
No, they marketed folk singing.
Oh, they marketed folk singing, right. Right.
The story that went along with them.
When is your homecoming?
Homecoming is over Labor Day weekend.
Oh, it's coming up soon, huh?
Yeah, it's coming up very soon. So
in September.
It'll be that kind of structure, and then however many people decide to offer, usually there's a lot of free time left over. Because not everybody
where do people stay there?
Well, there's a bunch of inexpensive motels real close. And and then they carpool as far as getting there, getting here in the morning and going back at night.
And how much do you charge people for participating?
$200.
A couple hundred.
We have to charge.
Days.
Unfortunately, we can't do it for free because it really costs us a lot of money to do the feeding and housing, and our house gets torn up pretty good in the process. But I mean, it's worth it because this is it. This is what Illinois Research and this is what the Law of One is all about. Is all is one, and we are all one. And when you experience a homecoming, you can really feel that energy. And imagine the whole weekend where people are holding the energy the whole time. You don't have to come down ever. You have to go to sleep, you know, and get rested up for the next day. But other than that,
so you're going to play folk songs, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to do a half-hour program of songs, tell
and
the stories.
I could bring my guitar and play as long as I wanted, right?
Sure could.
Well,
wanna?
I don't know. I don't know if we can budget that. How far are you from the nearest airport?
Well, we have an international airport in Louisville, but usually you have to go someplace else to get here, like Cincinnati or Atlanta or Chicago.
Yeah.
I think from where you are, you have to go to Chicago.
Well, if any of you all, if anyone listening wants to go, how do they find you?
You
go to LL Research.
LL Research, or actually the direct way is to go to Bring Forth, www.bringforth.com.
You know what? If anyone is listening and you don't do any of those things, just send me an email and I'll forward it to Carla, okay?
Yeah,
and she'll make sure you have all the details. And
but it is a mind-blowing event, and it's such a good way.
See, no wonder I played that song "Get Together" today.
Yeah.
And that's only in about 3 weeks. Is that about 2 weeks?
A couple of weeks away.
And who knows? Maybe Terry and I would go. Maybe. I don't think we can afford
it.
But
such a blast. We'd love to.
I'll bet it is. Yeah. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It sounds like it would be wonderful to go to.
You never met Carla, did you?
No.
We haven't met.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Terry, you haven't been forcing your way into the conversation as you usually do.
That's not my nature.
But I should, turn it over and encourage you to say something, or else you'd be sitting in the background and you'd have all these deep thoughts, but you would never say them.
Right.
Well, I think that's got to be one of the most beautiful things about someone is the modesty, the humility that would keep them thinking that they'd much rather listen than talk.
All right, Terry, this is your big chance.
I keep thinking of the time I was playing piano at Easton School of Music, and I went up in front of everybody, and I was scared out of my mind, and just kept playing at the normal speed, and my right hand started going faster and faster and faster, and it must have sounded absolutely extraordinary, and I couldn't stop because I couldn't figure out how to get started again and have it sound authentic, and so I just kept going like that, and one hand finished, and then the other hand, eventually the other hand finished, and somebody came up to me and says, wow, that was absolutely fantastic, and I left the room, and I said, I'm never going to play before people again. So they didn't require me too much after that to give recitals.
Didn't feel called to.
Right.
You know, Carla, I just had a thought cross my mind. You know the pleasure you get when you create an environment like homecoming, or even like we're doing on these calls, where you become a catalyst to bring other people together.
Yeah.
There's such a good
joy.
Now, if you look at it, and if you look at these group souls that we can't see, but we can feel, and we can imagine the delight that they feel by being the catalyst in bringing us together.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of that?
I didn't, actually, but it's a good thought.
There must
be all kinds of joy in that.
Yeah, and that they're here energetically. I know they're here. You know, as soon as I start talking about them, can you feel the energy shift? It's so interesting. I do. Maybe I'm crazy, but I always feel the energy shift when I talk about them. And it's like, you know, it's like in that party in San Diego where I was sitting there and people would sit around me and then I would get up and go somewhere else. I didn't get that the people that sat down next to me knew what I was doing. I was holding the space, but I think they didn't get that. It was just like, oh, I just show up, here I am, I'll sit down here. See, it's those little decisions that people make. I'll sit down here, this looks like a good energy here. But it happens on such a subconscious level, they don't realize why they're making decisions. And they didn't know that I was creating an environment for that to occur. And when we're sitting here talking and having such wonderful camaraderie and sharing our experiences, and that you're sharing with us, all of you here, sharing the space of it, we're doing this because on some level or another, there are these awarenesses in other dimensions that have been the cause of this coming together, catalyzed it. And if you just imagine that every time we meet like this, they are silently sitting in the background saying, how wonderful they're getting together. How wonderful that this is what life on Earth was supposed to be. And we're setting an example here. You know, we're not competing with each other. You all are right here, right with us. You know, for you to be right with us right now, you have to be in another dimension, because humans can't do that. Humans are stuck in their bodies. So you have to be in the part of yourself that's jumping out of your body and moving beyond space so that we can meet in a place beyond space. And we have these group soul energies that we can't see, but as soon as we talk about them, as soon as I talk about them, this is my experience, there is an energy shift. And they, like, think about from their point of view how they're looking at humanity, and they're looking at the suffering that takes place down here. And I don't think the Elohim, assuming they are who they say they are, and they created this realm, I don't think they intended all the suffering to occur. But they granted free will, and so once there was physicality, there were possessions and there was competition, and people, the beings here, for a great majority, lost their connection with the law of one principle. And the law of one principle just means that I can see me and you. That's all it means. Not some big philosophy. It means that if I see me and you, then we're compassionate. We have camaraderie. And this realm lost that. And that these group souls are watching. I don't know if watching is the right word, because they don't have eyes, but they're certainly sensing us. And it's not quite clear how it feels to be them and to sense us, but we know they do. And then they can move in and connect with our energy fields. And when they do that, which happens every Sunday for many people on this call, when they do that, it's such an expansion for us down here. And it's friends in high places in a way that we never, in our wildest imagination, dreamed was possible. And 10:57, and I think I'm going to move into our visualization. I don't know what to call it. I've called it a visualization. But it's the bringing together of the group energies in a way where we invite that connection with the other dimensions. In a way we can clear our space. You know, somebody sent me an email, and they suggested that, you know, we go in this visualization, and we go up, and then we all become one. We have that feeling of connection, and then we come back down and move it through our bodies. Someone suggested that we do bring in the session with Terry when we're at that place up and making all the connections. And I thought that was an interesting idea. And so I'm going to try that today. And I'm going to leave plenty of time here for creating intentions for all of us, intentions of transformation for ourselves and our planet and the people we care about. You know, this idea of being the catalyst that causes other people to come together and being able to hold an energy and a space to cause that to happen, to let other people jump into it, is an important principle, because as you go through your day, see if you can find opportunities to do that with your family. The thing about it is you don't get the recognition. People don't necessarily know what you're doing. And it doesn't matter, because when you create the catalyst for other people to come together, the energy sticks. It's other people change their own relationships because you created the space for that to occur around you. You didn't change their relationships. They changed it. But you held a higher focus of energy so that it made more potential. And it's like if everybody did that all the time, our world would shift so fast. And that's why, in spite of all the inequities on our planet, in spite of all the negative, and many of you understand the negative, know secret societies, et cetera, oppression. This principle, this very simple principle of holding the space so that other people can change and grow around you is perhaps one of the most powerful tools for contributing to life. And all of you have the ability to do it. When they say, we're here, all you have to do is ask. Somebody sent me an email and said, how come I didn't win the lottery? I asked. Well, it might happen. And there's another guy that sent me an email that said he went to the casinos in Atlantic City and he said, if I win, I'm going to send some money to Terry and Wynn. And he won $10,000 in video poker. And then 6 weeks later, I think, hi, Dave, if you're listening, that's Dave in Atlantic City in Margate. He sent me an email. I did it again. He sent us $500, but I don't know how much he won. But it's the movement into non-linearity. It's the movement into the field. It's not power. You look at it as power, you're in a lower level. It's moving your space to where you're one with the solution. And you're working in this field to recreate life. Life originates from these energies. And as you learn more and more to be in these energies, life can transform in a way that brings you more of what you thought you wanted. The problem is, you don't want it anymore. You just want to be in this energy. Have you noticed that? And probably the greatest joy is being someone who can share these energies with others. And someone who can create a playing field, that other a dance floor that other people can dance on. And suddenly, when you do that, you're making permanent shifts on this planet. But you have to do it. You have to do the volitional action. And even if it's going to Starbucks and sitting there and blessing everybody. And then you can start to learn how to talk about it. But a lot of times people try talking about it first, and it sounds like you've just joined a cult or you have this belief system, and you're not getting the energy across. It sounds mental, and it's not. So in any case, we know that we're the center of the universe. Each of us is the center of our own universe. And our universe is located, centered in our body. But our body is just the physical locus of that center. And that one's energy field, one's hologram, is not bound by their body. And when you start to move into the energy fields, each of us has a unique energy field wired to our body, connected to our body, which people call your soul. But your soul has fuzzy edges. It gets bigger and smaller, and the energy is shifting all the time, depending on what you think, where you go, what you read. And as things start to expand, we realize that your energy is part of my energy at the higher level. It moves beyond this level of separation, and it moves into the space of blending, connecting. And when that happens, there's a magical feeling that we participate in. And there's an empowerment that occurs, that we all participate in that empowerment. We come together and we create intentions with that group energy And we have a miracle-making machine. You know, the Elohim have said in their realm, it's not miracles. Because in their realm, all they do is whatever they think of happens. Because they're not in the rigidity of a physical universe, where, as they would say, the geometries have gotten locked, stuck, rigid, frozen. And our geometries have gotten stuck. That's why when you want to change your life, it's not easy to do it, because your geometries, what does that mean? It means your soul matrix has lost its ability to contract and expand very much. It's stuck, just like your body is, in a fixed position. And on these calls, we're learning, I'm learning, how to release the rigidity of that. And we feel this energy flowing in. You know, their image of being like WD-40 sprayed on this rigidity is a good image, because as soon as that energy releases, suddenly there's new potentials for all of us. We're not locked in that pattern. And it's not happening in your conscious willpower. It's now you are an energy expansion, putting intentions into that energy. And if your intentions are honoring free will for the highest good of all concerned, not violating your own or other people's, you know, when we talk about karma, karma is where it's locked up and frozen. And there really is no such thing as karma when you start to unlock your geometries. It dissolves. Karma is only a product of frozen geometries based on patterns that have been created in previous times. And we're allowing ourselves now to dissolve that. And we see our energy expanding and flowing freely into the space around us. We have the Earth, which is another energy, a big energy. And the Earth is underneath everyone on this call. We think it's underneath everyone, except for the group souls. I mean, probably we have all kinds of visitors from other dimensions. But they're moving here, participating with us on planet Earth. And Earth is alive. And the Earth is so happy to greet a set of humans that acknowledge it. We have the energy of the Earth coming up through the floor and through our feet, moving up through our feet, through our legs. You feel a tingling in your feet and your legs. Is that the Earth? Could be. Tell the Earth we love her. Send some gratitude. Say, I love you, Earth. as the energy keeps moving up your calves, past your genitals, past your solar plexus, and up through your chest, and your neck, and your head. And just imagine that the energy of the earth is completely surrounding you and protecting you. And you are grounded to that energy. You know, all the times you hear stories of people that had a house in the middle of a raging fire, and all the other houses burned down, and theirs was saved, or a tornado changed direction. Well, imagine the possibility that the earth has some say about these things, and that if you create a loving energy with the earth, she feels that and looks out for you, just like one of her children. And if she can move an earthquake or diminish an earthquake just because you love her, it might happen. And that these are not just random things. There's a lot of decision makers when earth events happen, natural events. And we know the earth has to release energies. We know there's pent-up energies in the earth. But the more people that make this kind of connection, the easier it is for Earth. And we move this energy up to the top of our head. And then through the top of our head, up to the space above us, up to the ceiling. We're not leaving our body. We're not astral traveling. We are expanding our energy fields. And I'm like a conductor in an orchestra. And those of you that are participating are like band members. And in this moment, each of us is allowing our own song to be played with each other. We're creating this group energy. We're moving through the clouds. We're moving through the veil. And we're hitting that place where the energies converge, they touch each other. You know, all of us are expansions of this one energy. The energy of the universe, the one energy that everything comes out of. And as we get close to that energy, we start to touch on the oneness that connects us all. And right now, we are there. We are right in that group energy that each of us free willingly has contributed part of our energy. It wasn't really our energy. It was always extended down to give us this illusion of reality that we exist in. once we get into this zone, very little needs to be said. Let's take all those things, our own personal intentions, things we want to shift, people we want to send prayers to, healings we'd like to see occur. Abundance, jobs, you have it. Just remember, if you want something to happen in the world, yes, moving into this space is important. Because this allows things to come in on a flow. But you also have to go to the environment where what you want has the potential of happening. You can't just put it into the light and be done with it. If you want a new car, you have to go to the dealer. You want a job? You have to knock on doors. So right in this silence, in this space, look at it as a space of creation. And visualize things that you would like for the highest good of all concerned and honor and free will. Put the people you care about into this energy field. And some of you feel that energy around your head, moving through you. We've created an affiliation with these group soul sources. I think the reason I like that song, Reach Out, I'll Be There, is at some point I realized that the very best songs were written out of this space, and that humans may not be so perfect in their ability to love each other. Be there for each other. But on the higher levels, these group souls and an entire team, and they don't have to work for a living. They don't have to support bodies. And they have the ability to flow into your space and love you. If you request it and allow it. And they can be there as much as you can handle. So let's call in the light while we're in this space. This is an experiment to see how the energy flows. bring in a message from Terry. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light. Surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and anchored into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And I forgot to check to see if Terry's unmuted. Can we hear
you?
Okay. So I just turn it over, and we will hear a message.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 11th of August, 2013. And it is a precious moment when everyone comes together. And everyone, for an instant, is one. For it is this that each one yearns for. It is like being back home. It is like being where one is meant to be, where one started out. And the individuals, as they yearn for understanding, as you yearn for connection, as you yearn to be one and to be fulfilled and to be whole and to be loved, as you yearn for that, for an instant, we have it. We have it here. And one can take this moment and the grievances that you have set out in the healing list, in your emails, they can be reviewed. And for a moment, you can set them aside and you can be where it is that you are yearning and longing and wishing to be. And you can send that to another. And you, for your family, for your son and daughter, for the ones that you wish healed, you wish wholeness, you wish connection. Communication is a bridge. So when the call is over, during the week, communication is a big solvent. It is a bridge that can help one get from where one is to where one wants to be, can begin to let another know how they need to be understood, what is going on, can make the information available that one can begin to understand another. We take a moment and we thank each person profoundly for your participation. And the song that Wynn has played, I'll Be There, for a minute we can all experience this. And we are available 24/7 to be available to you. All you need to do is ask. We are with you. We leave, but we do not leave. Thank you for this moment, this sacred moment in time.
Thank you. And we have people here on our list who have sent requests in, and that we'd like to move their energy into this field. And if I don't get to you, if I don't get to your request in particular, then there'll be a moment to just put it into this field silently. And we have many emails from people who have had wonderful transformations as a result of this. And let me just get this up to date here. Okay. We're up to date. And just remember that when you're in the circumstance and the people around you, the ones you care about, are not doing what you think is best for them, that you can't change their behavior by force. They're doing what they think is best, and they have to come to it themselves, even if they're doing drugs, even if they're dishonest and their fear is running them. You can put them into the light. You can hold unconditional love in your heart. And you can refrain from judging them. And Susan, who is in the nation's summer capital, I assume that's not Washington, D.C., huh? All right, let me just... And now I'm having trouble here. There we go. Money and resources. She's like, well, wants to go to Carla's homecoming. And focused, heartfelt attempt. It is so... so special for Wynn, Terry, and Carla. So Susan might be going to Carla's homecoming. Marcia in Panorama City. Health and protection. Grace to resolve all health and legal attacks on Jim Cole and partner Dan West. To resolve all to do with the upcoming trial in November. And I think she's just asking for equitability in this whole situation. Send the light to Oren in Grass Valley. Release despair, sadness, anger, and obstacles that prevent him from aligning with joy, purpose, vocation, home, community, and relationship. And Michael in San Diego. Healing with Anna, Anne's sister, who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, And, Michael, there is this one fellow I know that I've talked to extensively that believes he has this product that's been helping people with cancer. He emailed me, or anyone else, I'll send it the information. Okay? And Michael is sending the light to his brother, Stephen Adler, and Anna in Fremont, California. Humming sounds coming from above are getting louder. Are they real? Or is it coming from my brain and my ears? And having trouble sleeping at night. Anna, we send you lots of love, protection, and blessings surrounding you. And in terms of the humming, why don't you submit a question for Wednesday on that, okay? Barbara in Idaho, putting into the light her loved ones and herself, the perfect divine healing, physical, emotional, financial, and spiritual, for her brother Bill, his sister Pat, my friends Kevin, Melody, and Pamela, for the best and highest good of all. I am grateful for all that is well and for all blessings, seen and unseen. And, you know, if you felt the energy of that, Barbara is the center of holding space to other people. And she really cares. And then Barbara in Twin Falls, same thing. She put it in place. Terry in Boulder City, Nevada. Let's send the light to her dog, Mickey. Meds and remedies are not helping her coughing spell. And then Teresa in Del Mar, New York. His wife has rheumatoid arthritis. And I would like to put her condition into the light for her recovery and going back into remission. Thank you for your help, Gary. Gary, send me an email. I'll give you somebody to call that might have something to help her. We have here. Now, you know, it's really best not to put your name in and put the other person's name who you're asking for healing for in the right. Because it should be distinguished that the person is not asking for the healing, but you are. And the energy, see, this is like where people don't understand how this works, or at least how I see it working. When you're putting somebody in the light, you're not creating a magical invocation, and the Elohim goes, well, boom, it's working. It's working through you. You are part of the healing. And if you don't put your name in there as the person sending this, it's kind of like you're taking yourself out of the picture and thinking that it happens in spite of you. But you see, you're the one that has the energy linked to the person. And they go through you the way that I understand it in observing this. They go through you into the person. You're in the middle. You're the middleman. And you're holding space. And it's not magic where they do it because they like you. They go through you. And it's in the oneness of everything that it works. So we have here these two requests for Fulkerson, which has got to be from Vaughn, but he doesn't say that. So in the future, Vaughn, please say that, okay? Not that many bookers from the world. So Zane is 20, has been an athlete his whole life, undiagnosed gastrointestinal ailment, crippled him with pain, can't study at the university. Gary is 68, had a new heart valve, and made his heart valve, may find energy, purpose, in life. And then we have Lise in Rimrock, which is pretty near us here. Complete cure and end of the irritations and infections on my legs and thighs, so that I can function and walk and move again. Then we have Nicola in Bulgaria. Hey, Nicola. Let's jump really far to Bulgaria right now. I ask for the light to surround and keep my dog choking. I ask for his survival and that he is to be in his highest health imaginable right now. Let's just all ask for that and hold that space for that healing. And Wilbert in Brooklyn, that my current financial emergency is successfully resolved. And Gigi in Reno, what is all that static going on? Just a second. Let me see it. Okay, I think we're going to have to endure the static, or maybe it's just my static. I don't see it on the line there.
I don't hear anything.
You don't? Okay, it's just on my phone. Thank you. I would like to put Chevy in the love light. He cannot see because of his addictions, and I know the pain and danger he's putting himself in. And he needs protection and guidance. And Pat in Alabama, keeping her older child in the light, continue with golden sparks to release cords and karma between her and her boyfriend, and always for the highest good. You see, I mean, that goes without saying, but oftentimes we think we know what's good for somebody, and we don't. Oftentimes somebody is going through something that we would think is not good, and the thing they're going to is actually releasing the last bit of karma they have to go through on this plane. And if they don't go through it, they'll be stuck here. So always, you know, don't think you know what's good for anybody. But you can put their highest good in the light and put what you think is good. Keeping finances in the light, that's bad. And Cecil in Mountain Terrace, Washington. He puts Tammy Mullen in Tennessee into the light for healing of her health problems. And Jackie Arch Amball in Mount Lake Terrace, cancer in throat and lungs. And let's just move into our own requests, whether we read it or not. Just move into that space of oneness. Move in that space of the field. Move into that space of allowing yourself to experience the what's the word? The porousness of the universe. That you're in between the cracks. And that you're a co-creator with all that is. And put your needs and your cares and your prayers into that co-creative space. And now, if you recall, we broke protocol and we did the channeling session at the top. Now let's take those energies that we put together and move them through backwards, through the veil, through the clouds, through the top of our roof, through the top of our head, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And as we move that energy through our body, look for places where your body is locked up, where the energy is stuck. And surround those places with this new energy that's not stuck, that's free. Surround your heart. Surround your swollen legs. Surround the tension in the back of your neck. And just experience that part, that you are the center of the universe. The universe terminates in you. And that you are a co-creator with all that is. And that when you can align yourself in that, when you can align yourself and you have all those forces in the other dimensions working with you, you can move mountains. We're going to take the rest of this call and do our planetary healing, where we really need to move some mountains. You know, we have a planet that is going through a shift. We have competing agendas on this planet. We have service to self agendas. We have majority of people being clueless. And then we have groups like ours bringing in affiliations with higher dimensions for planetary transformations. So let's see ourselves connected to the oneness, connected to the Elohim, connected to the Ra. And out of the purest intent of our hearts to contribute to this planet, we bring those energies around like a blanket surrounding Earth. An energetic blanket that is looking for all the paths to get into the field of the Earth where it's needed. We have all those star seeds and wanderers, all those beings that have incarnated, taken bodies from higher dimensions, and who have forgotten who they are. And they are one of the great hopes for this planet. Because when you come in from a higher dimension, like many of you have, it doesn't matter that your life's been screwed up. My life was screwed up for a long time. And this work will unscrew your life up if you stick with it. You've come here to be of service. And why is it important for beings of higher dimensions to come here? Because you have the ability to connect with these sources. And you have the ability, when you get past your own obstacles, to project love light unconditionally to those people in your environment. And you're waking up. We're all waking up. And there are all those wanderers and starseeds on the verge of waking up. And if they all woke up, this planet would shift. So we send this love light to them. And that those people, when it's important for them to find us, might do so. Within this light surrounding all those areas of control, negativity on this planet, and we can't change them. That's violating their free will. But we can surround them with this energy, and that some of them might make courageous decisions. But in my opinion, for example, Edward Snowden. Every time I say something like that, I'll get emails saying I'm unpatriotic. But you know, the truth is that our government is taking away our Constitution, all the things that our country was founded on. And when somebody doesn't act with courage, I would say that that guy is a wanderer who rose to the occasion And we know in this transformation that's taking place that there are potential earthquakes on this planet and earth changes, and that it's been indicated that the more energy of balance Earth has, the less those changes might be. So each of us, as we learn to hold these energies and radiate into the Earth, is hoping to change those trajectories. And we go through the Ring of Fire, which is the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, which is the most volatile of all of those earthquake zones. And we start up the coast of South America, and up through the west coast of South America. What we're doing is we're sending energy through the Earth into the tectonic plates. We're asking that any seismic activity be let out in small doses, and away from population centers. And we go up the coast of South America to Central America. We move up Central America to California, or Mexico, the west coast of Mexico, up to California, the west coast, San Diego, Los Angeles, Marin County, Mendocino, continuing to Oregon, Washington, Vancouver, up the coast of Canada, across the southern coast of Alaska, down the eastern coast of Russia, no longer the Soviet Union, down through China, down through Japan, Fukushima, surrounding Fukushima with protective energy, however that can be done, with radioactivity diminishing. The Philippines, Singapore, and Hong Kong, Indonesia, and down through Australia and New Zealand, and Hawaii. And we jump right over to the New Madrid Fault Line, in the center of the country,